Welcome. Welcome to the show. This is Coral Reef, and this is the news show. You call that news from 6 to 7 every Tuesday, followed by Tangerine Dream Team with music. Okay, and on the line we have Mike Boyd. Mike, can you hear me?
Yep.
All right. Mike, what do you want to say to the audience here?
Well, hello, Santa Cruz County. I'm Mike Boyd. I live in Soquel with my family, and I'm the president of a nonprofit called Californians for Renewable Energy in CARE. And one of the groups, the supporting groups of CARE, is a group called StopSmartMeters.org.
Yes.
And if you go to that website, you'll see information about that organization. And the director of that organization is a guy named Joshua Hart. And I ran into you today at a court hearing on a citation that Joshua, a criminal citation that Joshua Hart received for blocking access at the PG&E pay station,
right,
in Capitola. And so my understanding is Joshua believed that his intention was to exercise his First Amendment right to protest. And as he explained, was discussed in his cross of the arresting officer, they didn't arrest him. He wasn't in the business. He was outside the business. And there was another door, so that all they had to do was open the door to let anyone who wanted to do their business go in that way if he was creating any problem.
All right.
In exercising his First Amendment right. And unfortunately, the magistrate judge didn't see it that way and said essentially that Josh put up a good, he made a good show, so she lowered the fine from $475 to $200.
Yeah, and a lot of supporters were there, about 20 of them at least.
There were a lot of supporters, and a couple even got escorted out of the room.
And that was because it was in this lower traffic court situation where anybody who blinked or stood up were noticed and offended the bench officer.
Well, you know, I don't want to give anyone the wrong idea. That's how the real court is, too.
Somewhat, yeah.
No, it is. It's very... And as the magistrate judge explained to the people that didn't want to you know, they were trying to disrupt the proceeding, that they were subject to being fined for doing so. It's an act of contempt against the court, and you can be fined for contempt against the court.
And she said she was giving a warning about it.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, in any case, the magistrate judge didn't do such a bad job. I think that, you know, Josh could probably appeal it. I think that it's a federal question of the Constitution, though, and possibly he should consider taking the matter to federal court. But I'm not an attorney, so I couldn't advise him in any case. But, you know, he has some options open to him.
Right. Yeah, I'm going to play some of his comments that I got right after the court proceedings today outside.
Yeah, so in any case, he could probably best speak for himself. Not me. But I can tell you about the recall. And I can tell you what's going on with the recall is the recall petition, unlike the Sentinel probably would like the readers to believe, is not just all about smart meters. There's actually four issues on the petition. The first being the fact that when Josh is exercising his constitutional rights under the First Amendment, and the police are arresting him or citing him or doing whatever they're doing in their enforcement action against them, they're violating his federal constitutional rights under color of state law, in this case, the Public Utility Commission of the state of California. But in Capitola and Santa Cruz counties, for example, they have a moratorium ordinance against the installation of smart meters.
Yeah.
So they're actually violating people's federal constitutional rights under color of state law, in violation of county ordinances.
Okay.
And so, and they're doing that, and in doing that, they're essentially participating in like a conspiracy, what's called a civil conspiracy, with the police and the Public Utility Commission and PG&E. And Wellington, whenever they're doing these unconstitutional acts, they're involved in what's called a civil conspiracy, and the individuals that are involved can be sued individually for their civil conspiracy actions.
Right.
And the reason I know about that is because I actually have a lawsuit pending in the federal district court against the California Public Utility Commission and the individual commissioners of the Public Utility Commission for doing that, violating my federal civil rights or my federal rights under color of state law. In this case, it has to do with the solar panels I have on my roof.
Oh, yeah?
I saw solar panels in 2001. In 2003, I went to the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, which is the federal agency in charge of electricity, wholesale electricity to be exact, and I asked them, how do I get paid for my power? And they told me I could become a qualified facility. All I had to do was self-certify. So I did that in 2003. I then spent the next 8 years trying to get PG&E to pay me. But PG&E wouldn't pay me because they said the PUC said they didn't have to. So I'm now suing the PUC and the individual commissioners for damages for not paying me for my solar power. Now, anyone who is getting a smart meter put on their property without their written consent is in the same position I am, essentially, with the PUC. They can sue the individual commissioners in court for violating their constitutional rights under color of state law and violation of these ordinances.
So
that's one way to go. That's the civil court way, okay? The other way to go is this recall thing we're doing. Okay?
Yeah, and
The sheriff should be enforcing this county ordinance that was adopted, or the ordinance in Capitola that was adopted. It shouldn't allow Wellington and PG&E to operate unlawful businesses in their jurisdiction while they're breaking people's constitutional rights like this.
How can people find out about this?
About what?
About the recall. How can they get a petition to sign?
They could send me an email.
Okay.
And my email address is Michael Boyd, MichaelBoyd, at signsbcglobal.net.
All right.
And if they send me that, I'll send them a Microsoft Word version 2003 copy of the approved petition. And then you can just print it out, but you need legal paper to do so. And you got to print it on the legal paper, or else they won't accept it at election.
Uh-huh. All right. I appreciate that you called
so,
in.
So now the other three things that I didn't mention about the recall besides the smart meter, though. One is the redevelopment, as you many of your listeners probably know, was recently some laws passed to abolish redevelopment. Before those laws were passed at the state level and signed into law by the governor, the county board of supervisors essentially appropriated $44 million in what are called new bonds, okay? A bond is like a loan, like a mortgage, okay? And they took on a bond for $44 million, which will cost the property taxpayers $88 million to pay back. Now, for that $88 million, they're building a new sheriff's station. And at the same time, they're laying off officers, city employees. They're laying off the school employees, the teachers and such in the county. And some of the school districts like Pajaro are really hurting bad for revenue.
Right.
And the money, the property tax under redevelopment, is diverted from its intended beneficiary, the school, and diverted to this new $44 million sheriff station. Okay? That's the second reason he's being recalled. The third reason has to do with the escaped prisoner who they had some coverage in the Sentinel recently. He got his sentence extended. But essentially, the sheriff understaffed that prisoner, okay, and people could have been killed because of that action. And he's the top cop. He should be held accountable for that. And then the fourth and final thing is the lady in Felton who disappeared for like 6 days, and when the family called and the press called to talk to the sheriff about it, they said that it was a waste of time to look for her. And the neighbors actually found her.
All right.
Okay,
Mike,
I think that's great.
And I'm expecting other callers that were at that event today to call in, but if you
hang
on.
I'll let you, Go ahead. Do you want me to stay on or let you go?
Just wrap it up and say where again people can get in touch.
I'm good. Thanks for the opportunity.
And that's it. Go to stopsmartmeters.org and or else email Mike Boyd.
Send to my email address, Michael Boyd at sbcglobal.net, and I'll send you a petition.
All right.
And you have to be a registered voter in the county to circulate it.
That's good. How long does
that means anywhere in the, if you live in the city or the county, you can circulate it.
And how long does the recall take? How long do we have?
Basically, till the end of February.
All right, everybody that's a registered voter, or if you're not registered yet, please do, so you can sign this petition if you're interested in a scene change. I was at the city council meetings today, and there's quite a stir of activity. In fact, I want to bring up that I just got a note that came in from one of the head DJs here, the head techie, who says there's a huge police action going on right now in Oakland. Hundreds of cops are engaged to occupy Oakland. I'm going to read about that. That was an hour ago, though, that I can find out about that. So thanks again.
First Amendment, that's what they're attacking, is people's First Amendment rights. They're trying to, that's the only thing we got left, folks. They took our property rights and privacy rights. That's all we got left. Thanks for your time.
And thank you. Bye. Okay. All right. This is Coral Reef, and you call that news show is on right now, every Tuesday. We'd like it to be, because we're going to get the antenna up. We're going to get the transmitter flowing, going, DSL on and everything. You've probably noticed that if you tune in right now, you're getting a repeated kind of CD music or voice going on. But never fear, the fearless flag of the pirates will return and we'll have transmission going, and especially now that there's all these occupations going on across the country, across the state. Right now, the one in Oakland I wanted to read about, and I will do that as soon as I get the page back up here I found. So meanwhile, our number here is 469-3119, area code 831. If you have any comments or any news to bring up this hour, call in and get on the air. And thanks to the first caller we had. I will be playing more of what he was referring to today, where we were at the trial for Joshua Hart, who heads up StopSmartMeters.org. Stop Smart Meters organization is a grassroots movement to bring attention to the fact that cities and county, especially in Santa Cruz and across the state and across the country and even the world, is allowing smart meters to be put into people's homes without their permission, just because PG&E or another utility company says it's good for the country or good for the world to put these unwanted, unsolicited kinds of things on, which I know you can read about it more, and I can read you and talk about that more if you have the mind to talk about that tonight. Now, as for the latest thing that happened in Oakland, police raid Occupy Oakland encampment and arrest dozens. So they swept it this morning. Then, an hour ago, or 4:30 p.m., this news came out. I haven't read this yet, but it says that Oakland had issued repeat warnings to campers over last week, citing an increase in public urination and defecation, rats, and fire hazards from cooking. The greatest concern, however, was from violence. That's one thing that Occupy Santa Cruz, I know, is very aware of. The violence, the nonviolence, and discussing what that potential would mean if there was violence, or if there was an occupation that believed in nonviolence. And they have General Assembly meetings every night at 6 p.m., and that's at in front of the Water Street side of the county courthouse downtown. Homeless individuals and families who had been living in the area were embraced by the makeshift community and became part of it. And this is from this article. You can go to it It says it's at LA Time Blogs. On October 17th, first sexual assault was reported, but camp leaders declined to allow police and fire officials to conduct patrols. But the following day, city officials said in a statement, "We began to receive numerous complaints of threatening, intimidating behavior. Public health and safety requirements are being ignored." More sexual offenses, fighting, and public drunkenness were reported, and officials said one resident of the encampment had been severely beaten. So on Friday, they demanded protesters cease overnight camping, and they gave a warning, and they raided 350 people were there, and they left voluntarily. Or, I'm sorry, about 30 out of that number left voluntarily. So what happened is that the police just went in and dismantled it. There was a lot of speakers at the city council meeting downtown just about an hour ago I attended. They were pleading and imploring the city council to be mindful of what happened there in Oakland and to allow campers, allow the ones that are staying in the tents that are on the side of the county building alone, and to not do not bother the protesters who are out there 24/7 and have a very thorough and well groomed, I don't want to say, but well put together kind of community going on, where they engage in each other's ideas, they discuss things democratically, they put things out on the deck where people all have, I mean, they put their ideas out so that everyone has a chance to speak, and it's called, not the way that a general assembly of like the Congress or the Senate would go, but they base this on a consensus type of organization where every voice will be heard. If one person blocks the idea of the discussion, then it is blocked and it has to be discussed until that person's satisfied with it. So that's what general consensus is. And you can find out more about it yourself by going down to Occupy Santa Cruz on Water Street. You can go to OccupySantaCruz.org or on Facebook. There's an Occupy Santa Cruz. You can join any of those groups. There are people down at the check-in info booth that can give you lots of info. And I have some things I could tell you about a little bit later. So, I'm expecting a few other calls if we have time. And at 7 o'clock, I'm going to start the music part of Tangerine Dream Team show, which I have. And I'm looking forward to getting back on the air so that more people can be tuned in while they're driving in their cars or use the radio to hear Freak Radio, which is FRSC at 101.1. Our frequency may change, so we may be changing that on the dial, and we will announce what that is as soon as that happens. I have something here that there's all kinds of ideas. Here's something written by Ed Fry. He says that we should want full access to all the facts and all the office holders and an equal voice for all the people. That's coming about it from that basis of government, that government rules. There are some people at this occupation that are not as into having government of that nature, but having more of no one's in charge. So there are no really office holders. I think it's a general compromise of the two. Because there's always someone that's going to be squeaking here. That's just the microphone. There's always going to be one more of a emphasis on who's up in front and consensus leader. They have training on facilitators, and so that you can be able to get everybody's voice heard. You have to be able to, get the public that's speaking to you in control, so to speak, so that you are not ignoring anyone and allowing everybody to have their say and moving along the conversation so it doesn't get bogged down. And if I notice that if it does get bogged down, people are allowed to put their fingers into this tent shape position, meaning get back to the point of the process, which is get to the point, keep it going. And there are these hand signals that people use when they are done with this kind of thing. I suppose it's the same everywhere in all the occupations. I don't know if any of you have gone to any of the other occupations, but I'd sure like to hear about if you did. If you went to San Francisco, if you went to Oakland, or if you went to San Jose. I heard that San Jose was going to be disciplined as well. I don't know if they've gotten back, but I did read that they did not get entirely dismantled, but that they just were temporarily brought down, and then they did get a lot of more supporters to come up to the front of the city hall of the government center down there downtown, I guess. All right. What I'm doing is trying to find out if I have any more to say on Occupy Santa Cruz, or if you'd like to hear more. I think I'm going to put on more about the role of a lot of people that, such as the Smart Stop Smart Meters movement, or people that are not into GMOs. A lot of people are putting out their literature about so many problems, layer upon layer, that surround us, but we're all linked into this together. There are multitudes of issues. There's homelessness and the people that are joining in at the Occupies. Some of the families that need to live together outside, and some students that have sacrificed their studies by going to and holding down this position of being at the Occupy, as long as they can, and helping other people understand what it's like to have a place where they can completely feel like they can express themselves and be, finally allowed to express the dissatisfaction that's going on, that they have, that's happening, that there's the economic situation in the world is completely turned around. The banks have been selling us out, and we have not really recovered from that as well as the banks who were bailed out. There's so many things that people have brought up at these events, but mostly it's for the right of dignity and to have a place where you can survive and live without fear of, no more fears, because once you're out of your place, like from an eviction or a foreclosure, you are facing being in a camp or out on the street, or why not better to have support of those who have experienced or are about to go through the similar experience that you're going through, and to hear what you have to say, and for them to give you their wise words or offer a place for you to sit down and for you to feel like you have a place to be. It is liberating that people can express themselves in all many different ways. That's what I've found anyway when I've gone to them. Sometimes it's frustrating to be there and to have to be patient for all the discussions to happen, especially when they have the General Assembly meetings. I know that a lot of places have had that that kind of experience. There's a flyer I got from the Barcelona Assembly Movement. So when I go down to Occupy Santa Cruz, it isn't for the whole day or at all, but it's for different parts of different days. And I talked to so many people, women and men, children. There's animals sometimes. And I get an idea of where they're coming from. And some people have held down jobs a long time. Some are students. Some don't believe in government. But everybody's willing to agree to, you know, get along and talk about whatever it is that's needed in the world. And we're not sure how to change the world other than just start with where you're at and be there and keep working at it together. I think I'll put on a song and then next hopefully get one of your calls or I'll talk about more about this Stop Smart Meters, court proceedings that I went to today. This is Freak Radio 101.1 FM, freakradio.org. This is called You Call That News. Coral Reef here. For Free Radio, and I'm here at the courthouse. It is October 25th. There's just been a hearing for Josh Hart for the June 21st alleged blocking the entry of the PG&E Center in Capitola.
Yeah, I thought it was the whole thing was a farce. The judge didn't have any authority.
And you were there, present at the proceedings. I saw you.
Yes, I was.
Could you describe what happened in the courtroom?
Not really, because the most of what happened took place after I was ejected.
Uh-huh. What did happen to you?
I was, ordered to leave by the judge or the commissioner, and for standing up and failure to explain why I was standing up, I suppose.
Did she say you imply that she was not a judge?
I think she didn't. I don't think she implied. She didn't really answer the accusation that she wasn't a judge.
But she did try take your. I don't know. She tried to explain what her rights she has or what her duties are.
Yeah. And I just didn't think that was any of her business as to, you know, why. I was there. I was basically there to stand up for Josh, you know. And it should have been obvious. I was unarmed, peaceful, and quiet until she interjected.
And there were some women that were asked to leave the room, too.
Wasn't that... That was Venice, right?
Who's Marilyn?
Oh, Marilyn.
Hi, are you guys a friend?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, We're interviewing just a second.
No, this is kind of important. Where's all that money going?
We're interviewing about what happened in court today, but I'd love to interview you, too. Just a second, please. So is there anything else more you want to say about what happened in court?
I just think that it should be a lesson to all of us that what we think of as a justice system is exactly the opposite. I mean, it's like when you look at the very building that we're in front of, it looks like some nightmare out of George Orwell's imagination.
And we're in front of the county court.
We're in front of the county court, yeah.
Yeah, Santa Cruz County Court. Yeah.
And this is
holding up.
You know, and we go
a sign.
There, we go there for justice. What we receive is fines. You know, fines and intimidation, and I think that's just wrong. And I'm here to support the Stop Smart Meters movement. And attend with Josh, with our leader in the courtroom. And someone with my point of view, though, is really not welcome.
And this has a lot to do with all the other kinds of problems going on in the world and the Occupy movement, which is where we are right now, and how it all correlates and ties in together as we all have to share the same city, planet, and this land right here.
Yeah.
How have you found the Occupy movement to be? Have you come
here? Well, I hope it's genuine. I hope it's being led by people that really have a concern for the integrity of freedom in this country. I don't join movements, but I find an affinity for this one, the Stop Smart Meters cause, because it does seem to me that what we're dealing with is a mass theft on the part of Wellington Energy. They've conspired evidently with PG&E to trespass onto people's property and to perform and execute a theft of personal property or private property held in trust. And they're getting away with this with impunity. And meanwhile, gentlemen like Josh and other volunteers are getting harassed by the police. You know, this is not justice. This is not the America I want to give to my grandchildren.
Thank you, Jim Ostrowski. Joshua, are you going to appeal your outcome today at court? I just told the audience that she had been given a hearing, and did you talk about that here today?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's outrageous that the county of Santa Cruz is going after peaceful protesters who aren't harming anyone, whereas they're letting PG&E completely off the hook when they're clearly in violation of county and city ordinances. Protesters are non-violently protesting. They are, disrupting business as usual. But the business as usual that they're demonstrating against is actually resulting in significant health damage to the public. And it's the longer the time goes on, the worse this issue is getting. We're continuing to get reports from people, particularly women, who are increasingly sensitive to these emissions and who are living with the emissions in their daily lives. So. When, regular petitions and letters and protests fail to achieve social change and justice, then there's a long and proud history of civil disobedience, and people need to rise up and not obey a system that is wholly corrupt. And I think that's what we're seeing with the Occupy movement, and the Stop Smart Meters movement is in full solidarity with that, and we're fighting the same thing, which is corporate control of our government and regulations that fail to protect public safety. So I'll definitely appeal, if the Capitola Police Department and the Santa Cruz County Sheriff want to protect public safety, which is really what they're top priority should be, that they should focus on PG&E and Wellington Energy, who are the real criminals and not peaceful protesters.
How would you go about it differently, if at all, next time?
I think, that more people need to become involved in civil disobedience, and we need to have more numbers. It's great if one person or two people want to take a stand, but at the end of the day, if you have 100 people or even 20 or 10, it makes far more of a difference and an impact in terms of, people looking around saying that, my friends, my neighbors, the community is not accepting this. We're not just going to go away. We're not just going to accept an unjust state of affairs. And so I think, people need to look in what I prefer, you know, looking 20 years in the future, if the projected rates of cancer do increase because of this program, are we going to look back and say, "Bo, back in 2011, I wish I had taken action. I wish I had, risked a simple, you know, a few hours in jail and maybe a couple $100 in fines, and making a big difference in terms of, making a statement to the community that this is not acceptable." So more people need to get involved, and the community needs to rise up and reject smart meters, and whether that means blockading PG&E's offices or blockading Wellington Energy installation yards or taking the legal and very reasonable action of removing a smart meter from your home or even homes that are nearby you and affecting you, that is your right to do, to keep your health and safety. So I think, you know, people need to, we need to wake up and become less apathetic. I think that microwave radiation in general has an effect on people to induce apathy, and we need to resist that and be aware of it and rise up together and look out for our each other.
Thank you, Joshua Hart. See you at other protests.
Awesome. Thanks, Carl.
Hi.
And I have some other words from people around the state. Artris Kornmesser from San Juan Bautista says, "The smart meter is making me sick. My legs tingle. I get nauseated. I had to go to the doctor and get medication just to be able to live in my own home. I can't sleep," unquote. Gordon, South Santa Clara County, says, "We have ringing in the ears, and my wife has suffered from nausea and dizziness. When we were away from the meters, the symptoms disappeared almost immediately." Sandy Aders, San Clemente, says, "Since the meters were installed, I have experienced insomnia, burns and rashes, heart palpitations and tinnitus. I've lost the ability to articulate my thoughts and to work. This is like some horrible nightmare." Winifred Thomas from Santa Cruz says, "I suddenly couldn't sleep at night. My body started heating up. My mind became fuzzy and incoherent. There were days when I couldn't get out of bed. I've been forced from my own home." So I also have what the Board of Supervisors were given about the legal recourse in the face of PG&E smart meter deployment. "The California Public Utilities Commission has refused to halt the smart meters program despite the growing number of complaints about smart meters since 2007, and in response to these issues, A, overbilling and accuracy, in 2010, hired an industry firm with a direct conflict of interest to investigate this, took no action in response to Division of Ratepayer Advocates, DRA, questions, October-December 2010, as yet has taken no action on Structure Group, refusal to answer DRA questions of July 2011. B, Health and Safety, dismissed a formal filing calling for evidentiary hearings on RF Health and Safety, has taken no action on appeal filed January 2011, has refused to broaden the scope of the opt-out proceedings to include health issues, saying there is no time. C, Privacy, in contrast to Texas law, which says the consumer owns their data, issued a privacy ruling that allows and even encourages third-party access to that data. The County of Santa Cruz doesn't have legal recourse and legal powers. PG&E does have a legal obligation to comply with the board's action. Legal protection of public health by agencies is as follows. California Public Utilities Code Section 761.D3 states, "Nothing in this section shall result in the modification, delay, or abrogation of any deadline, standard, rule, or regulation adopted by a federal, state, or local agency for the purposes of protecting public health or the environment, including but not limited to any requirements imposed by the State Resources Board or by an air pollution control district or an air quality management district pursuant to Division 26, commencing with Section 39,000 of the Health and Safety Code." What is an quote-unquote agency? Is it a board of supervisors? Is it a city council? If the legal definition of agency is something that is established by a statute, the initial incorporation or charter documents that establish these governing bodies could be considered statutes. Adopting a regulation protecting the public health and environment is what the Santa Cruz Board of Supervisors has done. The Office of the County District Attorney is definitely an agency, and as such could immediately make a rule halting this program at Santa Cruz County, as well as calling for the immediate return of the analog meters to all who request them and to create zones of safety for those so requesting. The nothing in this section includes these Public Utilities Commission responsibilities in Section 761. Whenever the commission, after a hearing, finds that the rules, practices, equipment, appliances, facilities, or service of any public utility, or the methods of manufacture, distribution, transmission, storage, or supply employed by it are unjust, unreasonable, unsafe, improper, inadequate, or insufficient, the Commission shall determine and by order of rule fix the rules, practices, equipment, appliances, facilities, service, or methods to be observed, furnished, constructed, enforced, or employed. The Commission shall prescribe rules for performance of any service or the furnishing of any commodity of the character furnished or supplied by the public utility, and on proper demand and tender of rates, such public utility shall furnish such commodity or render such service within the time and upon the conditions provided in such rules. This is maybe, this is me, Coral, again. Goes on for a few pages. I have this printout here. And I want to tell you some websites you can go to. For the smart meter privacy violations, go to youtube.com and you have to type in, some of it's embedded, but I would say type in smart meter privacy violations on YouTube and you can see a 4-minute video there. There's also one you could see about customer utility bills increasing, and that's at bakersfieldnow.com/news and a few numbers. It's a 3-minute TV news video. There's one about insurance companies, and that's a 3-minute video as well, that they hired independent laboratory scientists, and they observed DNA chain breaks, and that confirmed other research. So now, major insurance companies will not insure liability of damage from wireless devices. If you have concerns, you may go to the County Board of Supervisors, write to them, go to the City of Santa Cruz to the public hearings, or write to them. The numbers I can get for you in a few minutes if you like them, but if you go to on your computer, type in Santa Cruz City Council, California, Santa Cruz, you can find out all the phone numbers you need to contact and email. And that goes for your state representatives as well, such as Sam Farr, Bill Monning, other people that are representing you also in your district. You can find that out by looking online. And if I can, after few minutes, I'll look those up myself and give you all the scoop. So you're listening to You Call That News show. I'm going to try to get some other callers for the last 15 minutes. Actually, we only have about 6 minutes left. Hope you've enjoyed it. And at 7, there'll be the Tangerine Dream Team show hour. And at 8, we'll have Free the Land, and that'll be with DJ Freedom. And I'll be interviewing two participants of Occupy Santa Cruz, and there'll be more comments. So if you have any gifts to offer, we could sure use your help. You could send us your love to and any kind of contribution you want within reason to P.O. Box 7811, Santa Cruz 95061, and put that in care of Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Yeah. This horrendous explosion went over her head and slammed into the backside of one of the whales, and they exploded, and she screamed.
How can we ever stop the clear cuts in the forest if we're so effective at clear cutting one another?
To recognize one's own insanity is, of course, the arising of sanity.
Mother Mary, come to me.
We know that this contamination is affecting all of our life, all over our Mother Earth. We know that the cancer rate has gone up to epidemic proportions because of the fallout in the air, in the atmosphere, in the water.
It's a small world.
Tune in to Small World Radio, Thursdays from 2 to 3 p.m.
That's actually going to be tonight. We've changed the time of that show. The Small World Radio program will be on from 9 to 10 Tuesday evenings. That's with host Morrow and his children. And tonight the theme is San Francisco occupation. I know he went there recently and interviewed a lot of people on the street as far as it goes. I hope you can tune in at 9 o'clock and hear Small World Radio and hear the latest on the San Francisco occupation. I'm gonna get it together here. And be sure to go to the local Santa Cruz occupation. There is a website. You can hear things live there. It's oscradio.tk. And they normally are having a live feed at least part of the day there. You can hear it. That's oscradio.tk. I'm going to play now some of the part the for the last 5 minutes of the show, part of Chris Doyen, who is Commander X's press conference at City Hall about 3 weeks ago or so. And we'll just have time for a little bit of that. Thanks for listening.
Many of these wonderful and fiercely dedicated activists are not only fellow freedom fighters, they are my best friends. It is also claimed that I am a member of the People's Liberation Front, a shadowy and infamous group of cyber warriors with a quarter-century legacy of nonviolent resistance on behalf of the downtrodden and disenfranchised of this world. And I say that I am not only a founding member of PLF, but I am its leader, and ultimately responsible for all actions done under its flag. Finally, this indictment charges me with certain criminal offenses. With regard to these allegations, I can only state at this time that both my co-defendant, Josh Cabelli, and myself are categorically innocent of the charges against us, and our legal team will provide irrefutable proof of this at our trial. When we were laying out the plan for today's press conference, one of my friends asked me, why here? Why not over at the federal courthouse in San Jose? I mean, that's what it's really all about right now, right? And the answer is because this is where it all started. You local journalists know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. Peace Camp 2010, man. 60 days. An intrepid band of homeless people and street people gathered together and occupied this very space that we stand on. You can edit that part out. He's bonked us on the head. You okay down there? All right, good. Wait, start. You know, and what was that protest about? Peace Camp 2010 was about standing up to rich and powerful few in Santa Cruz and to demonstrate a better way of building community. And it was those powerful few fearing the effect that peaceful protests might have on the coming elections, ordered Peace Camp 2010 to be ended by force arresting dozens. I myself stand so charged for the physical occupation that took place during Peace Camp 2010. Ed Fry will actually be my lead attorney on that case here in the county. He can also answer all your questions about Peace Camp 2010, which you should be asking a lot more of. Robert Norse is here today. He can speak to his citation for singing a protest song in a locally designated free speech zone. When justice is denied and peaceful dissent is forbidden, civil disobedience is the only logical response. You know, I am a homeless guy. And I'm scary smart. And despite the best efforts of the city, the county, and now the federal government, I will not be silent. I'm a street person. My name is Commander X. You can damn well expect it. Thanks. Okay, now I'll just...
Can you stand on the X?
And then do Q&A. If you guys would put record, because my attorney needs a record of everything you guys have a record of, and that's the only way this could possibly begin to work. So if you would just say your name and you, yeah, I'll let you for the... video guy, and you don't have to turn
on Bob Riddell. I'm a reporter with NBC Bay Area. All right. So, the federal government's accusing you of shutting down the Santa Cruz County government website in retaliation for the illegal camping.
Correct.
And you're saying it had nothing to do with that hacking or denial of service?
Just to let you know, I you can have make photocopies. I was going to make them for you guys of the indictment, the warrant, and the statement, but I didn't have time. So if you want, whatever, this material will be made available somehow on the net, or if you want to look at it today and make notes and make copies, whatever.
Do you have anything to do with the denial of service attack on the Santa Cruz County government website?
I for that question, I'm going to repeat almost verbatim what I just said in the statement, but I'll do it for you anyway, and that is myself and my co-defendant, Josh Covelli, are categorically innocent of the charges against us, and we will provide irrefutable proof of that fact in a court of law in the coming months.
Well, you know who?
Until then, that's the statement on the DDoS attack on Santa Cruz County website.
You know who did the attack, though?
That's the end of what I've got to say on that topic.
You're saying you're homeless, you're scary smart, you obviously are very smart with computers. Why not take that skill, go get a good job, get yourself off the streets?
What makes you think I don't got one? Do I look broke?
Well, I don't know. I'm asking.
I like sleeping outdoors. It doesn't mean I'm broke.
You know,
I mean, I do just fine for myself. I don't think my finances are any of the public's business right now. We're here to talk about a well-known persona that has, you know, been a pain in the ass, by the way, Commander X has. Not just to, you know, Santa Cruz County, but to, you know, dictators like Mubarak and Bin Ali. You can go to the website and see the work that we do all across the Middle East, the Balkans. You know, this is a global movement, and we're active in countries. We save lives. Bloggers come to us in Syria, and we teach them how to stay alive. So what we do is so much more than you can ever imagine. Now, beyond that and any you know, actions that I may or may not have been involved in will be discussed in the coming months. But
I wonder how you feel about the people who are behind the denial of service attack, because it did affect ordinary citizens.
Well,
probably don't
well, look,
have
I,
a,
I just,
a bone in the
giving,
dog in this fight. No, I'm just wondering
okay,
how you feel.
I'll tell you. I'll answer your question. You know, I mean, I just got done making a statement that I am a member of Anonymous. I mean, or I am associated with the movement known as Anonymous. To stand here in all truthfulness and say, you know, we don't DDoS, you know, we DDoS all the time. You know, 2 days before I was arrested, we were DDoSing President Assad's website, three of them, in the country of Syria. And we've defaced it twice this month alone, and you guys have covered that and been very good with the media about covering that story. And you know, so those are the sorts of things we do. We fight bad guys and tyrants wherever we find them. And where we found them in December of 2010 was right here in Santa Cruz. We found a bunch of homeless people hunkered down on this little patch of property here who were being pummeled by the system. They literally had come here for sanctuary. They had nowhere else to go in the county because everything has been made illegal. Breathing is friggin' illegal here. I mean, this man here was cited and actually jailed for singing in a free speech zone here in Santa Cruz. It is utterly ridiculous here. And if you know anything about Anonymous, if you're familiar with, for instance, Operation BART, which you're free to ask questions about, or, you know, any of those other domestic sort of operations that seem to go up the ass sideways of the FBI, well, that's what it is then. It's probably just because it happens in the United States of America. But think about it. It is no different than what we do to bad guys wherever we find. It's just nobody cares if it's, you know, President Assad. You know, they're going to hold me to account because I was defending a bunch of homeless people, whatever it is I did.
I think people maybe get upset when they see ordinary citizens with regards to BART being inconvenienced or with regards to the Santa Cruz
County. Too bad, man. You don't think that the poor homeless guy that was murdered on the platform just a few months ago or the other guy that was literally shot while he was already cuffed and shot in the back by a cop, this police department has a problem, man. That's not supposed to happen in America. They're supposed to these people, the government, is supposed to protect us from that crap. And they're not. They're failing. People are dying all across the country. I don't think a week goes by that my news feed doesn't pop out either a police abuse or a flat-out police murder of an innocent person in this country. And you can say, yeah, that maybe comparative to other countries, it's better. But it's not good enough, and so when you have the question of civil disobedience versus the question of justice, you know, obviously you look back on the icons like Martin Luther King Jr., Gandhi, stuff like that, and what it always comes to is at some point justice and the right to civil disobedience meet in the middle where there becomes a moral imperative and whatever. And we left this county courthouse steps voluntarily. We broke up Peace Camp 2010 ourselves, and there was no need for the malicious prosecutions that they did to these people who are going to do 6 months in prison for sleeping on the courthouse steps. And it's no different than what we did in Orlando, with Food Not Bombs being arrested for feeding homeless people. Come on, guys. Come on, people. Wake up. There's got to be a limit in America to what you can do to poor people just because you don't like the way they look and you don't want to see them around.